Hello, you guys, and welcome to 3 years of the Pretty Little Podcast. What the freaking heck? Can't believe it. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And okay, Phoebe's dying to show me her crotch. Phoebe just gave me a crotch shot. Phoebe just tilted down her webcam so that I could see her full crotch. And she left it there for like five Mississippis. It's like, I get it. What are you trying to show me? She had pants on, I think.
I was fixing my volume. It's behind my computer screen. I figured it would show like my mouse, but I guess I didn't think of the trajectory.
Nope.
Cheers.
So good to know. Good to know for you because, your Diet Coke says sis on it.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. So it was just chance.
I was like, that's so cute that she specifically chose that one.
Here's the thing about the new Diet Coke branding. I'm a little bit like, I don't like how it looks. And I don't like all the stuff on the sides of the boxes.
I just think like, it's fine with me as long as what's inside the can and inside the packaging does not change. Like, keep the integrity of the Diet Coke the same. And, you know. And then I won't really have that many complaints. Now, if you do something I particularly like, you might get praised by me. So,
right, like,
let that be the incentive.
Cans.
Exactly. Like, you got praised by us for that. So just keep in mind, we're not praising you this time. We're enjoying the consistency of the beverage. Not necessarily.
I wish they'd go back to the names. I feel like that's what they were trying to do with this.
I did, too. I kind of thought I stepped into, like, a time machine when I picked one up and it was like, share this with a friend, and I was like, no, but also are we doing this again? I gotta look for my name.
That's a recession indicator.
Ed Sheeran charting, Katy Perry in the news,
in the public eye. Wait, also I thought they were like gonna be up there for
space.
A bit.
I feel a little bit duped.
I thought KP was going to be up in the ISS doing a full concert, but I did hear that she did sing.
Oh, she did sing What a Wonderful World after their brief moment of weightlessness. And guys, we're going to talk about it next week. Like, we're going to have a full KP
in
space debrief.
Gail just fully, as it got closer to actually going up there, was so, did not, you could tell she did not want to go.
You could tell she was like, I just wish I had seen the list of who was going before I paid this much money and agreed to get in a spaceship. Because if I had known Katy Perry was going to be on the spaceship, I might have waited for the next one.
I also just like that she's being real about, like, not everybody in the world. In fact, most people in the world would not be like, oh, my God, yes, let's go to space.
Yeah.
They'd be like,
and me as well.
I would be going up there thinking about the Challenger. Like, that's all I would be thinking about.
I mean, how many times have we seen catastrophe strike when something goes in the air these days? You know, like, that's all I'm saying. I saw a meme that it was Katy Perry kissing the ground when she got out of the spaceship. And it was like, anytime we get off a flight in 2025, it's like so true. Like, anytime. I'm drinking a cherry cola Celsius out of a freezing cold martini glass because it's my birthday and I want to.
Oh, right. You aren't working today.
But if I was working, I could still drink a cherry cola Celsius out of a martini glass because there's still no alcohol in it.
Right, but you probably wouldn't do that.
Well, I don't know. It's my birthday. Anything goes. I'm 30 now. Kind of anything goes. So, guys, today we're doing an episode called 30 Things I Learned Before 30. I wish I could have put what I learned about the space thing, but I didn't learn that before I turned 30, unfortunately. I learned that this morning. So I didn't put that on the list. I think I've got 30 things.
The math could be off. You didn't just number the list?
Well, listen, Phoebe. I've made a few drafts of this because I was like, I want it to be perfect. Of course, I went and reread Taylor Swift's 30 Things I Learned by 30 for Elle Magazine.
I didn't even know she did that.
Oh, you got to go read it. It's so Taylor. It's back when she let us like
a little cringe.
Just hear her a little millennial cringe. It's like Reputation era Taylor, What I Learned by 30. And it's great. And so I went and read that. I was like, how have the greats done it before me? Make sure I want to set a good example for Phoebe when she ultimately does this as well. And so I first made a list. I just have been keeping a list over the past few months of like, oh, put this on your list. And then yesterday in the car ride, I was like, okay, let's go through and see what I actually want to keep. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to categorize them. And I'm going to try to do 6 categories with 5 things in each category. But then I was like, well, what if I have 7 for something? You know what I mean? That math does track. And I was like, I might have 7 for something. So then we kind of got off. So I counted it a few times. I believe I have 30. But if I have 10, just kidding. I'm like 20 off. The math, could you imagine?
The math might be a little off.
A little off. Okay, if I get to 7 and I stop, then just pretend we got to 3.
We're going to count then. I'm gonna keep track of the
numbers.
Okay,
good. And I do want to give, I mean, this is mostly going to be lighthearted, but there are some.
Thank God.
Some things we'll not like talk too much about, but there are some things that are, I have a section called Hard Truths. And some of it could be like it could hurt your feelings a little bit, or not you.
We find out there's an entire section of things that she's learned that she doesn't
think
like
I learned about
me.
Phoebe. The things I've learned about Phoebe.
She's like, and by
then,
the way,
and then at
thing.
The end of that list, it's I've learned to accept the things I cannot change. Just kidding. But so I just, you know, just be aware that once we get to the hard truth section, I'm just putting a little trigger warning. Okay.
Oh, great.
All right. Yeah, great is right. So let's just jump right in. Phoebe has no idea what I'm about to say, and I love that. We're going to start nice and lighthearted, though. We're starting with my cheesy truths, okay? So these are just cheesy, goofy things. Or sorry, these are not the cheesy things. These are the goofy things that I've learned. And so the first one is how to do a great blowout. Don't look at my hair today to think that, because I had to run up and down the steps 50 times, and it got a little bit sweaty and it got a little bit messed up, and I didn't have time to fix it before recording. But I have learned the formula to a great blowout. Would you like to hear it?
Sure. I got a great haircut this weekend, by the way.
Oh yeah, well I wouldn't know, but
well
it, I wouldn't,
I mean,
know,
it just,
she's got it all tucked up.
It looked great right after the haircut, and then I went to a birthday party and it kind of fell out. But
was it like a trampoline party or something? I'm just trying to imagine why your hair would completely fall out of your head.
No, it didn't. Birthday party. Like, it didn't really hold the shape that, like, but when I walked out of there, it was great. I was, she didn't almost give me bangs.
But there was, okay, like, that there would was, be kind of crazy if she, quote, almost gave you bangs.
There was
that's
a
bonkers.
Moment there. There was a moment there
where you were like, wait, are you cutting bangs?
Yes. I was explaining, I had never gone to this girl before. I was explaining, like, my face framing layer situation.
Of course.
And she was like, I think we're going to, I couldn't really understand her super, super well. But I knew that she was saying, like, we need to make it a little bit shorter because of how we're cutting your hair. Like, we need to make it all, like, proportional. And I was like, yeah, for sure. That's perfect. Then she takes the front little, like, part of my hair as though she would be cutting bangs.
Oh, my God. And this is the sign that Phoebe doesn't get her hair cut that much, because I would have known what was happening. I would have known you were just getting some face framing layers like you asked for.
I know, but I normally
get those. Like you explicitly asked
her
for.
This has never happened before. And I go, wait. You're not bangs, right?
Wait. I'm sorry, that's crazy. And you know what? I'm also proud of you, because the thought of you saying stop to somebody, like, I could be sawing off your arm. I don't think you'd tell me to stop. I think you'd be like,
it took
are you
every ounce of
I
courage
mean,
in me. I was literally, part of me for a second was like, guess I'm walking out of here with bangs.
You're like, all right, just gonna let her.
But I was like, I can't show up to someone else's birthday party having gotten a haircut earlier in the day to
that
debut
makes it all
bangs.
About you. That makes it all about you. Yeah. And that was nice of you. That was nice of you.
Otherwise, I probably would have said, I guess this is the era where I have bangs.
And I guess I'm finding myself. Well, maybe you should try. Well, you did have them as a little kid. We all had them.
Right.
Mom was not going to let us, like, get to double digits without having bangs, okay?
Well, I had side bangs, too, for a long time.
Same. Throwback. Okay, so the formula to the perfect blowout. Now, listen, everybody's hair is different, so I don't know if this will work for you, but this is how I've cracked it. Okay, so you're gonna wash your hair. You have to wash it. It has to be wet and clean. And after that, you're gonna put in a heat protectant. This is crucial. I use the Kerastase Blonde Absolute. It's like a leave-in treatment. And then I use the Kerastase Thermique. It's
of
not
course.
Thermatique, Lisa. It's No, your hair looks great, but you do need Kerastase Thermatique, though. So I use that also. Okay, and then
now
you
that
have to let
your
hair.
She's an ambassador, they're going to rename it.
They're going to rename it Thermatique. I then have to let my hair air dry a little bit, but not all the way, okay? If you don't have time to let it air dry, that's okay, but you do need to do like a rough dry with your blow dryer to get it to about 80 to 90% dry, okay? Before you're going to do the round brush. I do have the Dyson. You don't need the Dyson. You can use the Revlon round brush. You can use the Shark. They have a million. You can use one from TikTok Shop. Okay, and then you're going to put in, I have it here, the Redken Big Blowout Heat Protecting Jelly, okay? This is going to go on your hair when it's like a little bit dry. And you're going to put it in just like, just mid-lengths to the end.
Caroline,
okay?
Send me this list of things. I want to blow out bad.
I might also make a video like showing how I do it also to accompany this. But I will make a list
once
of these
tax
things.
Return hits.
Yeah. this is not very expensive. I got this from my hair girl. But the Redken stuff is all really good. And this one is, I love it because what it does, you guys, is it creates like, it's like sticky almost. So your hair really holds the shape and like it helps the like bristles of your round brush really get in there and hold it. And it really shapes it. So it's really nice. Okay. Then you're going to put it into layers, however many layers you need. And you're going to use your round brush and you're going to get into the roots. Now, here's the key. You have to make sure that your roots are dry because if they are not dry, it will ruin your entire blowout. You can spend hours on this. You leave the house. The moisture that's in your roots is going to seep down and make your hair frizzy and make your blowout go away. So it's worth spending the extra time getting in there and you can use the cool setting or whatever, but really get into like your roots and make sure they're dry before anything else. Once you've finished all of that, I also have started to use the IGK Disco Hair Shine Spray. It's like a gloss spray. I don't think you need to use it, but it is nice. And then the real secret.
Would you recommend that for people with oily hair?
Yeah, but you just don't want to use it. Like, I don't put anything pretty much up on my top of my
head. At my haircut, Ulta right now, the salon is doing, they're using Sacred products. And you can, like, test out different. Oh. And I didn't know that Sacred was for all hair types. But she used this oil in my hair and it made it look really,
I love
and it
hair
smells
oil.
Amazing.
Here is the best hair. I'm going to give you two hair oil recommendations, okay? The first one is the Kérastase hair oil. That Sephora always has them as like the 100 point rewards. I will get like four of them if I go and they have it because it lasts forever. You need like a drop. And you're going to do this once the whole blowout is done, once your hair is dry. And you're literally just going to put a little bit, get it in your hands, and like go in your hair mid-lengths to ends down, okay? The other oil that I like to use for like restyling is the Living Proof Invisible Oil. And that, if you have oily hair, that's the oil you should get. It is amazing. It doesn't, like your hair won't look like it has any oil in it at all, but it keeps things from frizzing. It's just really nice. Okay, but the TikTok Shop Sleepy Tie is how you're gonna make your blowout last more than one day. I sleep with it in this. So it's this, I'll do like a tutorial of it at some point, but you can also look it up on TikTok. I was influenced, I ordered it. You sleep in it, it will give your hair those big round, like bouncy blowout curls without using the rollers. I've tried the rollers, they just don't work for me. I can't get them to look right and I rip my hair out. So I just don't think it's worth the time. If you don't have a sleepy tie, use a silk scrunchie. Okay, you're going to put your head upside down. You're going to take all your hair and you're going to put it in a really loose bun, not a messy bun, like a twisty bun, and secure it with a silk hair tie. And that will also do like a similar thing for keeping it. The next thing I'm going to be trying is the Kérastase like reshapeable blow dry lotion. You're supposed to use like on like second or third day hair. But anyway, I think it's important. It's taken me this long to really perfect it, but this is my tried and true blowout method. I know it's kind of intense. It is, but this will last me like 3 days and it's worth it. So that's, oh, and the dry shampoo that I use and swear by is Crown Affair dry shampoo. It comes in like a little, it looks like a powder thing and you use a little brush to put it on. So it's not an aerosol. So it doesn't make your hair wet at all. And you just brush it in where you want it and it's refillable. So it's environmentally friendly.
How much is that?
I think it's like $40 the first time you get it for like the whole thing, but then you can refill it for $30. This lasted me over a year. So I paid $40 and this powder literally lasted me like, I think a year and like a couple months. So it's worth the investment, I promise. Okay, that's the first thing. Just something kind of trivial, but also important. Next up, something I learned is that you can nominate yourself for the Forbes 30 Under 30. So don't stress out about not being on that list, okay? Because half of the people that are on that list put themselves there, okay? So if you're feeling some type of a way, like you woke up on your 30th birthday and you didn't make the list, it's fine. And it's not your fault either, because it's a Nepo baby kind of thing. So just like, I just felt like I didn't take the initiative and submit myself for this, but like some people did. And that's why they're there. And I'm just saying that if it was up to merit, I would have been there already. And so would you, everyone. So that's the second thing I learned. Okay, third is that Taylor Swift is really timeless. She really is. It doesn't matter if you are 6 or 600. Taylor Swift's going to speak to you. Don't you think? Don't you agree with this?
I agree. I totally agree. And her fingerprints are on everything. I saw this TikTok the other day that was like, if you say you hate Taylor Swift, but I see you listening to Sabrina Carpenter and Gracie Abrams and Olivia Rodrigo, you don't hate Taylor Swift.
No, you don't. It's this bizarro thing where everyone's just excited to hate on someone who's doing it.
There are those really songs that like people will point to and be like, "See, like this just is bad," and it's like, "Well,
well,
not
guess
bad.
What?
Bad isn't bad is not eye of the beholder, but also."
It's camp.
There is something for you somewhere. And I was listening to Debut the other day. I think I said this on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but every time I listen to it, I'm just like blown away.
No, it's insane that she was able to do it at that time. And also it's just such a testament. Like I honestly now I love when people say that she's not a good singer, because it's like, yeah, well, she is now. But like when she started out, I think it's safe to say there were a lot of better singers on the scene than her. It's such a testament to, like, first of all, her songwriting ability, but also like herself and her motivation and determination and spirit and personality and likability and work ethic. Like, it's a testament to all of those things. So I'm sorry, I don't accept when someone's like, well, I don't like her because I don't think she's a good singer. I wouldn't turn around for her on The Voice. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people on The Voice I wouldn't turn around for.
But there are probably also a lot of people that you listen to that you wouldn't turn around for.
Half the people that you like on TikTok, if you just heard on the radio and they suddenly became really famous, you would hate them. Like, it's cool to like not like her. But the point is, she's timeless. There is a Taylor Swift song, a Taylor Swift album for like every season of life. I'm 30. I'm happily married. And I still get such a rush from her music. So one of her like 30 things I learned by 30 was someone said, well, when you get happy, like, what are you going to sing about? What are you going to be able to sing about? And she was just like, all my songs aren't sad. And the other thing is, like, that's just not all it's about. And I think
that's where that quote comes from, though, about I think that's where that quote about Ed Sheeran and Bruno Mars comes from, where she was like, are you going to ask them the same question? Yeah. Like, what are they going to sing about? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so that's next. Number four. Well, Caroline, you're going to rewatch Pretty Little Liars years later, and you're going to realize that the character that you wanted to be in high school is the most insufferable and worst character on the show.
Oh my gosh,
you know what? You're not going to be alone in this.
I had a moment this weekend at the birthday party where I was talking to someone about Pretty Little Liars, and because the podcast came up. And she asked my ranking of the girls. She was shocked because she's not listening to the podcast. She would just restarted watching
was
the show.
Hannah, Spencer, Emily, Aria? Or were Spencer and Emily switched?
Hannah, Spencer, Emily, Aria. Emily and Spencer, it's interchangeable.
Emily's
Aria,
not like,
it's like,
I don't like that she's second
last.
To last. Yeah, Aria's dead last. Emily's not second to last.
I think I was like, if I could put every other character in the show between Emily and Aria, I would.
Like, let's put Allie in there. I want to get Allie in there between Emily and Aria. Like, I just,
and
Emily
Mona,
is not
Mona
there.
Above
Mona
Aria.
Is between Hannah and Spencer.
But I had to, like, explain, and this is how I realized that we just have to think about this show so differently than, like, a normal watcher. Like, if I was watching the show again, I might not, like, hate Aria. You know what I mean?
No,
if we
it's
never
just
did
that
this
we are
podcast.
Literally like dissecting.
So
every
I had to be
thing.
Like, no, you don't understand. Like the way, and also part of it, I had to acknowledge. Part of it is that we have ingrained in ourselves so much how much we hate Aria. So every time
and
we
it's
watch,
our own lore. Like we can't
we're, like,
tell
looking,
what's real, what's not.
Exactly. So I was like, if you listen to the podcast, I really think you'd see where we're coming from.
Yeah, you really would. Like, You really would. It's funny how many people are like, wait, it's so funny that I wanted to be Arya, and now as I listen to the podcast and I rewatch, like, you're and so fucking right. And everybody has that right. moment. Yes, it's the Jessa. She's the Jessa of the show. Like, Jessa wishes. And girls. And it's just like how Gab... And by the way, guys, Jessa sucks.
Marnie really pissed me off last episode, and she wasn't even what being like do? That bad.
What did
it
she do?
It wasn't even like the worst of the worst. Tell it me. Was just... It was when she was at that party for Booth Jonathan, and mm-hmm. Hannah comes, and Hannah like is going to tell her that she got the book deal, and Marnie just won't. Like, Liz, it doesn't realize she leaves. She's just like pissing me off so much the way that she's acting.
It. So. I just got to a crazy. I just got to the season five, the first episode of season five, and I mean, like, I was like, wow, they hate Marnie. Like, did they hate Allison Williams? Like, why are they making her like this?
Who is this based on in Lena Dunham's life? Like,
it's so funny.
Do you think Lena Dunham's friends are? And you know what? I think I saw this tweet a long time ago. People say Taylor Swift might be a Marnie.
I think
there's a world where she is.
I think there's a world where she's Marnie, and I think she grew out of it. And I think Marnie never grows out of being Marnie so far. But like, the thing about girls is it's such a good snapshot of like people in their 20s living in New York, figuring it out. But it's also like, you don't stay that person usually, but these characters are forever cemented in this trope right, that's of who a good point. Are, so Marnie, you know, but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's like everyone's gonna like, I might have had a Marnie phase too, but like you grow out of
Taylor,
it.
Taylor's Maddie era.
Her kids moment,
but
like,
also anytime she was interested in Maddie Healy, even within the last couple years,
you think it was Marnie?
It's giving Marnie.
I guess so. Yeah, her going on stage at the 1975 concert and singing is a little bit Marnie. Oh my God. Yes. I mean, did you see Marnie at Charlie's party?
Is that is that the party she goes to? And well, obviously, sings? Like, I know the clip. I know,
like,
the clip.
Does that not make you want to crawl out of your skin?
That's Taylor at the 1975 concert.
Yeah, it is. And it's also like, if you watch that scene and you're still like, I love Marnie, I'm like, what? Like,
and Charlie XCX is Jessa.
Yes, 1,000%. Gabby Wendy was on Lost Culture, and she was like, I always wanted to be a Jessa. I'm a Shosh, but I always wanted to be a Jessa because I was a pick me. And she says it. She's like, I was a pick me. And I thought that, and like, you watch it back and you're like, wait, Jessa kind of sucks. Like, she does. She's honestly, I'm starting to like her now in season five. And thank God, because if I didn't and she's doing what she was doing, it would be bad. Okay. Moving on. So, Arya, unfortunately, I loved you so much as a teen. And your fall from grace was epic. That's number four.
Was it
number
made our five, podcast? Without the Arya hate, I really think we're...
I mean, friend or foe, you're listening. Okay, so number five is that dinner parties are really hard to host, okay? They're not, like, as easy as you think. There's a lot of timing and prep work that goes into this. And you can think that you prepared everything. Like, I had a dinner party for Anthony's birthday a couple years ago or a year ago. And I made homemade pasta and I made salad. I made a cheese board. I made a cake. I made all these things. And I prepped it. Like, I made the sauce ahead of time. I did all these things. And I still, first of all, I barely got to eat anything. And the second thing was, like, I just felt like I was sweating, like I was working an event the entire night, and everyone was, like, waiting on me to finish making it. It just, like, took forever. You also have to have the right, like, serving things, and a lot of times you're not going to. So be nice to yourself about that. And also, you're going to have to clean it up. And the next day, there are going to be so many dishes. Like, you're going to have dishes for every
That's the
thing
worst
that you
part.
Did.
Mimi and I were just talking about her birthday. It's coming up, and she was, like, thinking of... renting the clubhouse at our apartment for the pregame.
Wow.
And then mid conversation, we were like, we're not going to want to clean that up before we go out. We are not going to want to clean
really
that up before
point.
We go out.
That's a really good point.
And we're going to, like, since it's a shared space, we're going to, like, actually have to clean.
Yeah.
So we might be.
What if you did like a after party there?
Yeah, but it'll be too late. Mimi, when it's her birthday, we are out on the town. And that girl, last year on her birthday, we ended up on Broadway, which was not in the original plan for anybody. Mimi had us all walk up to the roof of this bar, which, like, isn't normally that crazy, but it was the end of the night. Like, it was like 3 a.m, like last stop. Walk all the way up there because she's convinced someone is there. Wasn't up there. So we had
if
to
that
walk
ain't
back
being
down
in your 20s, I think yeah somebody might be at this place. Let's all go.
Let's
and if you don't
go,
you're a bad friend.
And I'm going to make sure you guys
there
all walk up five.
And the person's
steps
not there, but we're
flights
all having a lot of fun, right? It doesn't matter that he's not here because we're having fun, right? We're glad we're here. It's my birthday. Let's do shots. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. We've all been there. Okay. So anyway, that was something I learned. I was like, I'm going to be such an adult and throw a dinner party. And I was like, wait, this is like an art and you kind of need two ovens. So just things to keep in mind. If you're going to throw a dinner party, keep it simple. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. And if you don't have two ovens, maybe wait. Okay. okay. Moving into my woo-woo things I've learned section where there's only one thing. And it is this. Manifestation is real and powerful, but so is working hard. And here's what I mean by this. You have to manifest. Like, if you say, put it out in the universe, I believe that the universe is listening, that it is out there. Like, if you say it, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you really throw it out there, like, and it's also this thing of, like, you can say it out loud, like, look in the mirror, like, affirmations kind of thing, because there is that thing of whatever you say, your brain is looking for evidence to support that thought. And so if I say, I suck, I'm not going anywhere in life, I'm never going to, your brain's like, well, actually, yeah, like, look at everything you failed at so far. Look at where your friends are and you're not there, like all these things. If you look in the mirror and you say, I'm fucking killing it, your brain then looks for things to support that. Like, yeah, you are killing it. Like, look around you. Look at this great, like, place you live in. Look at your husband. Look at your dogs. Look at your life. Look at your podcast. Look at your blah, 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 you know? So it's really important to, like, not only like do your affirmations, but also be manifesting those things you want for the future, because your brain is going to look for ways to make that happen for you. But the other thing is, you then have to pair that with, like, really working hard and putting yourself in those conversations and situations and rooms and asking for what you want, because, as I've said, closed mouths don't get fed. And you just never know. If you don't ask, the worst thing they can say is no. And just, you say yes until you have to say no, you know, and just like let it happen and see where it takes you, because you honestly don't know. But if you never put it out there that there's something that you want, and then you don't take the steps to make that happen, like, it's definitely not going to happen. Yeah. If you put it out there that you want it to happen, it might happen. But if you put it out there that you want it to happen and then you fucking get to work and you do everything that is in your power to make that happen, the universe will pull their weight. I promise. So I just think, like, honestly, this podcast has really taught me that. And it's also taught me that you just don't need to be, like, embarrassed of anything that you're doing. Like, there are moments I think where Phoebe and I are both like, oh, should we be embarrassed about our Pretty Little Liars podcast in our late 20s? Or one of us is 30. And it's like, no, because it's given us so much. And also, like, it's really not, at the end of the day, it's really not about Pretty Little Liars. Like, it's about us and our conversations and our community that we've built and how we're connecting through television and pop culture and nostalgia. And that's beautiful. Okay.
I just saw this TikTok that was like this guy saying, if your brain is telling you to do something, like, if you're having a thought, like, I want to do this, I think I should do it, there's a reason for that. And every day that you don't do that, that's how some people get he was like, depression is the opposite of expression. And not expressing yourself leads to feeling, like, say you want to write a book or something, and every day that you're not doing that, you're reinforcing that in your brain that, like, you're not doing that, but you have that dichotomy of, like,
or that you can't.
You want to do it, so you feel like a failure that you're not doing it. But if you just did it, then you would be telling your brain that. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%, 100%. And I'm trying to see. Okay, yeah. I'm going to get into now the good and hard truths, because there's something that comes, like, along with this, which is a quote from our G-Daddy. And I'm also going to mix this with a quote from our father. But G-Daddy says, if you think you can or think you can't, you're probably right. And I love that. It really goes along with this kind of thought. Like, and our dad, you know, we grew up in a house where it was Connells don't say can't. And yes, at times that can be toxic. But the reality is, like, if I say to myself, you know, I want to do this, but I can't, then immediately I put up the blocks and my brain is like, all right, you can't. Instead of looking for ways to make it happen, like, you really don't know what's possible. There are so mm-hmm. many things that I've like wanted to do that I've been like, oh, but I can't do that. And then I've put it out there. I've had conversations with people. I've not been afraid to share what I want and what I want to do and what I think I might be able to do. And then guess what? Somebody might hear you say that and be like, oh, well, I could help you make that happen, you know? And then they introduce you to something. Like, you just don't know. But if you keep it all in your brain and you really believe that you can't do it, you're never going to put it out into the universe and no one's ever going to hear it, you know, and mm-hmm. it's never going to happen. So I think it goes along with that, like, manifestation is real. But also, you're probably right. If you think you can't do it, you're probably right, you know, because you're limiting yourself. If you think you can do it, you probably can. And there are some things that, like, a little bit of delusion is a healthy thing. Like, there are things that growing up, it was like, well, I can't do that. And that's probably true. You know, I probably cannot do that. But whatever, I'm going to use a little bit of delusion to just, it feels better to believe that sometimes that you can. But you also just don't know what you can't do. You don't know what's not possible or what is possible. So why limit yourself before you've even explored it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next. Is that mental health is worth the investment? It really, really is. It's really fucking hard to make that call, to make that first call to a therapist. And a lot of times when you call a therapist and you're looking for help, it's not successful. I have called a million therapists in my time who literally, like, you get up the courage to call. Because usually when you call, it's not because things are good. You know what I mean? Like, you're usually calling in some sort of state of, like, distress or crisis or whatever. So you're already in that place. You make the very brave decision and step to call for and ask for help, which many people never even get to that step, you know? So you make that decision, you call, and the first thing they say is, like, well, we don't take your insurance. So yeah, it's going to be $200 a session. And you're like, okay, on to the next one. I just had that experience.
I didn't know that therapists were allowed to not take any insurance.
Yeah.
I think that's insane. Yeah. That actually is crazy. Insane. No insurance at all. That's bullshit, in my opinion.
It is bullshit. Yeah. It is our world. Haha. But yeah, so there's that. Or you call and they're like, oh, we're just not taking new clients. You know, or one time I call and they're like, well, can you tell me, like, what you want to talk to your therapist about? And I was like, no, because I don't want to tell you. Like, I want to talk to a therapist about it. And they're like, well, we really can't, like, schedule someone with you. We can't choose the right therapist for you unless you tell me. And I was just like, okay, well, go fuck yourself. Hang up, click. Like, it can just be really disheartening. So you go through a few of those phone calls and then you're like, well, I'm not fucking doing this anymore because it actually made me feel worse at the end of the day. It was so hard to get the help. But once you get it, and sometimes you're going to get to a therapist and it's not going to be a match. And sometimes that might not matter. Like, my therapist when I was 22 or 23, she was like not my therapist forever. But in the moment, I was in a period of crisis. I needed help. It really didn't matter. Like, she helped me in that time. My therapist now is like my soul sister. And I don't know how I got through life without her. I'm so happy I've found her. It's been like 3 years of us together. Once you find it, it really, like, it is worth the investment. I promise you, you're investing in yourself. And, like, there's nothing more valuable than your life and your brain and your happiness. And it's not just about you. Like, if you're someone that needs the external motivators, like, think about how much better it's going to make your relationships with the people in your life or your relationship to your job or just your relationship to yourself. And it might get harder before it gets better. It really might. And some people might not understand what you're doing. And that's okay, because you have to know that, like, you're doing the right thing for you. And it's worth it. Okay. So that is all I'm saying. I go to therapy every single week. I see a psychiatrist once a month. I'm not ashamed that I'm on medication for my brain. It has, I believe, saved my life. And if I'm on it for the rest of my life, then I might be. But the fact is, it hasn't kept me from having a really beautiful, vibrant, amazing life. It hasn't taken away my shine. That was something that I know that mom was always worried about. Like, when I was younger and antidepressants were brought up, it was like, well, I don't want it to change you. You just don't know enough about it. And that is totally valid. But you might have to, like, find what works for you. And I'm not saying that medication is the answer for everybody, but I'm just saying, like, you know what you need to do to help yourself.
It's also been a lot. Not that everything's been ironed out, but like it's also been a long time since then. So like the science and the research,
we know so much more. Yeah,
changed a lot. I mean, and there's still a lot we don't know. So obviously,
right.
Do your own research.
And it's different
research,
for kids.
But...
Totally. Like if your brain isn't developed, I know like there are a lot of risks as well. Completely. But sometimes like the reward is greater than the risk. And if you are investing in your mental health and you have a team of people who are supporting you, whether they're professionals or they're your family or whatever, then like you can take that leap and maybe it's not a fit. And maybe you go through a period where like it's not working for you, you know, but you've got the support system. And that's the other thing about having a therapist is like, there are weeks when I go where I'm like, oh, I feel fine this week. I don't really need to go. But knowing that I have that appointment, so if the shit hits the fan on Tuesday, I know on Thursday I have an appointment. I don't have to scramble to figure out how am I going to like recalibrate, regulate myself and be okay. You know, you already have it. So that's a good reason to just, even if you go once a month, like, you know, you've got it. If something goes wrong and you need a little support from a third party who is objective and whose job is to like just support you, I mean, you know, it's just worth setting it up. So that's what I want to say about mental health. Okay. Road Warriors, can we get real for a second? I want to talk about the massive effect stress can have on your hormones. And who better to talk about this than me, a certified stressed out girly.
It's true. Stress plays a huge factor in hormones. In between work and life and everything else, it's easy to feel totally out of balance. And we can't be the only ones.
That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life.
And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Y'all know we love Happy Mammoth, so obviously we took the quiz and it gave us personalized insights into what might be happening with our hormones.
You know, it's not a competition, Phoebe, but I finished the quiz in literally 30 seconds, so it couldn't be easier. Based on my symptoms, it seems I'm overflowing with estrogen, and their recommendation was, drumroll please,
Hormone Harmony. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body.
Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So, ready to start feeling like yourself again?
Head on over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code PRETTYLITTLEPODCAST for 15% off today.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Anything to add so far, Fee? What are we at? Are you counting?
Not anymore, because you started saying numbers that didn't match what I was saying, so.
Oh, okay. Well, so far we've done 2, 3, 8.
Okay.
8 so far. Okay. Moving right along. I'm going to get into some hard truths because we're kind of like in that space right now. So a little trigger warning here, but not for a few minutes. All right. First one of the hard truths, number 9. Raise your expectations. You teach others how to treat you, okay? And sometimes it does not matter how much you give to a person or a place. They will betray you. They can still fuck you up. They can still hurt you. It does not mean that, oh, well, I tried to teach them how to treat me by being like so nice and all this stuff and they didn't do it back, so that must not work. No, You now teach them by walking away. You teach them by what you tolerate. So like when someone's not meeting your expectations, it doesn't mean like, oh, well, I tried my best and this is just what it is. Like you're allowed to make the decision to say, well, unfortunately, like I don't accept this. And if you want to be in my life, this isn't how it's going to work. So you'll have to make a change if you want to be in my life. And that's okay. Sometimes it's selfish. Sometimes you have to do it, but that is okay. You have to treat people or teach people how they're allowed to treat you. This is very true for romantic relationships. And I'm saying this because I know we got a lot of young 20 somethings listening to this. And I want to let you know, I've been around the block, y'all. Okay. I've been around the freaking block. I have dated and not dated a lot of fucking assholes. Okay. I really have. And all I can say is that there were times that people thought I was high maintenance, or there were times that people thought that like I expected too much because I wanted my boyfriend to text me back, or I wanted my boyfriend to say Merry Christmas, or, you know, like I wanted to be treated like a human being or something like that. No, no, it's very easy to be in college and see girls like and guys and whoever like making themselves smaller to make other people like them. And you're like, oh, it worked for them. They have a boyfriend. They're thrilled. They're happy. No, they're not. And that's not there forever. And oh my God, if it is, I'm so sorry, because you've now signed up for a life of pretending to be something you're not and not living life to your fullest potential. So raise your expectations. The bar is on the floor for a lot of you. Okay. You're allowed to ask for what you want. And if somebody can't give it to you, they're not the one. There will be somebody who will. Find your Anthony, okay? But it's really true. Like, you just have to, it's up to you to walk away, raise your expectations, teach people by deciding what you tolerate and what you do not. Yeah? And Phoebe, I'm speaking to you too with that one, my little people pleaser sister who I love so much.
Yeah.
I think that you're not as much of a people pleaser as you think you are, or maybe as you used to be.
Yeah, I think it's middle
you
of the road.
You did yell at your hairdresser. You screamed at your hairdresser on Saturday.
No, I didn't.
I'm scared of Phoebe Connell. Don't put her on my books again.
Definitely did it in the nicest way possible.
Excuse me. Okay, so that is that. All right, next up, you are in control of your future, and also you have no control over your future. I worked my entire life, it feels like, to be a Broadway star. Elementary school, I was in dance multiple times a week. I was in acting classes. I was in group voice. I was in rep classes. I was in rehearsals. I was in private voice. I had a zillion voice teachers. I had a zillion dance teachers. Like, I went to all the intensives over the summers. My parents like made a lot of things possible for me. I had a college coach. I auditioned for a bunch of BFA programs. I ended up getting into one, and we all thought I was getting into all of them. Okay. My college coach was like, you're my golden ticket, literally saying that to me. Like, my friends were kind of pissed at me because of how well things were going for me. Got into one school for BFA musical theater, went to the school, did not love it, wasn't the school for me. And I knew that, but I was like, I'm going to go anyway because this is my path. This is my whole life. Ultimately decided not to go get a BA in theater performance and also double major in English. But I still kept doing it. Still was in shows. First job out of college in theater. How many people can really say that? Like, I was like killing it. Come home, save to move to New York, direct a high school musical. I'm like, I'm amazing at this. This is my passion. This is my life. Go to New York, pound the pavement every single day, auditioning like 5 times a day and then walking out the door and pretending like it never happened. And then COVID happened. And I'm just like, all I can say is like, the rug was pulled out from under me in such a major way. And all of us, this isn't like a just me thing, but maybe my specific story will speak to you, because the point is, I did everything right. I really believe that. Like, I was so sure that that was my future and that I was talented enough to make it. And I still think that's true. Unfortunately, there was a global pandemic that completely changed the course of my life. And so that's what I mean by like, you're in control of your future. I'm not saying you should just like who cares, like have your little
You're in control moment. Until you're not.
Until you're not. And so like, you it is up to you to prepare yourself for the future that you want, but also the future that you might not want. And I will say, thank God I went to the school that I went to, because first of all, I got to perform a lot more than a lot of my friends who went to BFA programs that I was really jealous of. That's the first thing. The second thing is I had to become really well-rounded. Like, I had to take the honors college classes and the English classes and the tech classes that I didn't want to fucking take. I don't want to take stagecraft. I showed up to welding day in jellies, you guys. Like, I did not want to do that, but I had a good...
Because,
thank God I did.
Because of the musical you had to build.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I never would have guessed. And I'll also tell you that for all my life, I was like, I'm never teaching. I will never teach. I don't want to teach. Like, those who can't do, teach. I was quoting School of Rock. And look at me now. I mean, that's not my full-time job, but I have, like, a thriving musical theater teaching business that I get so much out of. So it saved me during the pandemic. And if I hadn't prepared myself for life the way I did, without the idea that I'm too good to do anything, or I don't want to do that, or I can't do that. Like, I was like, I'm just gonna learn everything I can, because there are so many avenues in theater to make money. So, like, people will tell you it's so fucking hard to have a career in theater, and that's true. But also, there are so many ways that you can make money. And so, like, learn everything. Literally learn everything you can, and be prepared for everything in your life to change. Because when my life completely changed, I could have just, like, rolled over and been like, well, fuck my life, like, this sucks. And I could have gone right back to New York afterwards and been in the same exact situation I was in before. But I didn't. And I'm really happy with the choices that I made and, like, what I learned, and also learning that it was okay to change my mind about, like, what my life was going to look like, because I did make the decision not to go back, and that was hard. But anyway, so that's that one. Okay. This next one, trigger warning, but a very wise professor once taught me that being drunk is not a crime punishable by rape. And I think that the way she said that to me really spoke to me. It doesn't matter if you're underage. It doesn't matter if you are 30. It doesn't matter if you're 60. It doesn't matter if you're 10. It doesn't matter. It's not your fault. And especially if you are drunk, and if you're one of those people that's like, well, I put myself in a situation where I was drinking too much and something happened to me, it's not a crime punishable by rape. Okay. And the other thing I want to say, and I learned this when I took a self-defense class in college, and People Against Rape came and spoke to us, and I think this is really powerful as well. They said, a girl can walk down the street at 2 a.m. in, like, a seedy part of town, butt-ass naked, with no protection, every single night for a week, and nothing can happen to her. And if she does it one night and she passes somebody who is capable of doing something terrible and wants to, then there is nothing that that girl could have done to change that, because it has nothing to do with her. It's, there is somebody who is capable and wants to. And I just thought that was an amazing way of saying it. Like, it's really, you know, we want to do things to protect ourselves, of course. But at the end of the day, you can walk down the street like that five nights and pass men 5 nights, and nothing can happen to you because you're passing people who are not capable and who are not monsters and who do not think that way. And that's only going to happen to you if there is somebody in the equation who believes, who wants to do that, and who's capable. And so it's not your fault. It's never your fault. And I just think that those two things really stuck with me all these years. And mm-hmm. if you are someone that needs to hear those, like, you know, I'm here. I'm here to talk about it if you need to talk. Okay, moving on. Closure is amazing. Get used to not having it. You're not going to get closure for most shit, okay? And closure also might come years later, in a really unexpected way. I don't think I ever talked about this in the podcast, but I'll say it now because it's kind of crazy. So the guy I dated in college who, like, ruined me, like, oh my God, hardest breakup I ever went through, blah, blah, blah. I never really got closure from that. Things ended really bad. Things ended with me acting insane and doing some insane shit to hurt his feelings, okay? And it worked. And then I got really mad when he started retaliating based on that. And we never got closure. And things ended, like, bad. Things ended, like, blocked. Like, I was blocked. And, like, words were exchanged or not pleasant. And I was like, okay, I'm never going to know what this person is doing again. This person then moves to Colorado. I'm like, all right, I'll never see them again. It's a month before my wedding.
And this was wild.
This is so crazy. And, like, it's not like I was thinking about him, but you do think about those relationships that, like, really fucked you up. And I'm like, God, I learned so much from that. And there was a lot of beauty in that relationship. But also, like, I needed to go through it, honestly, to get right to where I am. But so it's like a month before my wedding. Or no, it's like a week before my bridal shower. And Anthony and I are in the car and we're driving to one of our favorite restaurants, Noodlehead. And we're meeting Mom, Phoebe, and Lily. And we pull up to a stoplight and this man walks across the street. We're like the first car at the stoplight. And this man walks across the crosswalk. And I'm like, is that my ex-boyfriend who ruined my life, who I thought was in Colorado? Like, it can't be. And I like look out the window and I'm like, what? I'm like having a moment. Anthony's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I text Chloe. I'm like, do we know like this person's location? Like, where does this, like, there's no way, right? That this person just like, cause not only why would they be in Pittsburgh, but why would they be walking in front of, like, we had to leave the house at the exact time to for that to happen. Like, it just felt so fucking crazy.
Like, if
crazy.
He had stopped and exactly. like looked at a window or something, or you had literally gotten stopped at a different light.
I know.
Or like, if you it's had just run that light.
Literally, like, it's, I would have hit him and killed him. Just kidding. But it's just so crazy. And we get to the restaurant and everyone's like, no, there's no way. There's no way. And I decided to just text him and ask. And I was like, I haven't spoken to this man in years.
Wait, so you weren't blocked?
Well, I thought I was. I thought I might be. But I also think I have
Caroline
a new number now.
Caroline was taking.
Oh, I do. I have a new number.
Caroline was taking inventory of how she reacted to certain things in that situation. She was like, yeah. Yeah, probably blocked for this one.
Probably blocked for this one. I think my old number is probably blocked, but I got a new one. So anyway, so I text him. Joke's on you. He can never get away from me. He can run, but you can't hide. But I'm also like, you know that I live in Pittsburgh. Like, you actually know that. You know, he knew that it was like where I was from, you know. So I was just like, I don't know if he knew I was still living there, but whatever. So I texted him and I was like, hi, this is Caroline Connell.
He's like, who?
Any chance you're like living in Pittsburgh right now? And he was like, oh my God, Caroline, hi. It's so good to hear from you. Yes, I am living in Pittsburgh. I go to grad school at this school. I work at this place. Turns out the place is three streets away from my home. Like, I was like, how the fuck is this possible? And he's like, I would love to like catch up. And I was like, sorry, I have my bridal shower. I can't. And that was that, but I just
like to know where my ops are. I just like where to keep tabs on where my ops
at all
are.
Times I was like, God. But what was so nice is that like he responded so positively, and I was like, oh my God, it's kind of really lovely to know that I can go into this next chapter of my life, my wedding, my marriage, and just know that like the past is the past. It takes a lot of your energy to like think that there are people out in the world who fucking hate you, and also yeah. to be hating people who are out in the world. And like, it's not that I wasn't over that relationship at all, but it was just kind of like, it felt like the closure that I needed, which was like, okay, look, I know where he is. I know what he's doing. We're in completely different places. I couldn't be happier about where I am. I would never have wanted this to work out so that I would be with him. And he doesn't hate me. It's water under the bridge. Like, I just don't need to feel like there's someone out in the world who
yeah.
wants to speak ill of me and like right. all these things, which he was doing in Charleston before, you know. So,
well, sometimes
anyway.
Closure is also an excuse, I feel like, for people to not like wanting closure.
To be messy. To be messy.
Also just to, like, not get over things, you know? It's like,
yes, but that's messy. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
It's I like, guess.
Well, we just need it. How many times have you been like in college and you're out with your friends and your girlfriend's like, well, we're going to talk. We're just talking. I'm going to get closure. And then they go and it's like, oh, it's the morning time.
It's the Chapel Roan song.
Casual?
No, coffee.
Oh my God, it is literally coffee. It is literally coffee. And that is also Hannah Horvath going to meet her gay ex-boyfriend, Elijah. But yeah, so anyway, I just think closure's awesome. It's not always going to come the way. I remember texting him before I moved out of Charleston and being like, can we just like have a talk before I go? Like, I just want to leave on good terms. And he never answered me because I was blocked. And I was like, okay, fuck him. Like, I'm just going to hate him forever. And that's just one example. But I think like closure with friends, closure with family, closure with people, like there are going to be times that you do not get it. And you kind of have to find the closure for yourself. There might be times when you get it way later than you thought or in ways you didn't imagine.
Right.
Accept it when you get it because it's fucking amazing. Let it be enough and let it be closure. Don't let it be like, oh, now it's opening the door again. Let that be closure, okay? And also just get used to the idea that you may not ever get it, and that's okay. All right, and the last hard truth is that anxiety is selfish. And this is something my therapist taught me. I've said it a million times. I don't mean that you're selfish. I have anxiety, okay? I am an anxious girl. And I am not calling myself selfish, but it kind of is helpful when you think. Because most of your anxiety is centered around, I did something stupid. I feel dumb. Everybody hates me. What are they thinking about me? Like, what did I fuck up? You know, right? It's usually not about other people. Or if it is, it's like how other people reflect on you, blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is nobody's thinking about you that much. Okay? Yeah. And let that be freeing. Like, are you thinking about other people that much? No, you're thinking about you. And they're thinking about them. So all that social anxiety that you're feeling after a hangout where you're like, oh, I said something weird. Everybody think I have it every time I hang out with friends. Friends that I've had for decades. I still have it afterwards. I have it after I talk to Phoebe. Okay?
And good.
And at the end of the day, Phoebe likes it. And Phoebe actually is thinking about me. Just kidding. But the fact of the matter is, like, those people, they are not thinking about you as much as you are thinking about you. And if somebody wants to talk to you about how weird you were being or something you did, or if your anxiety is actually valid, it will come up, I promise. They'll want to talk to you or something like that. But, like, you don't need to put yourself in the prison of I suck.
I heard this story the other day of this girl. She goes, it was my birthday last night. It's the morning after my birthday. And I just got a text from one of my friends that said, can we talk about last night? No context. And she said, and she goes, yeah. And the guy goes, okay. Does like an hour sound okay? Still no context. Can you imagine how terrifying that is? She comes to find out he just wanted to talk about his night. But the text was,
and there it is. That's a perfect example.
The text was, can we talk about last night? She was like, I know that I probably did stupid stuff. I was like having fun on my birthday. Obviously, that's I have anxiety so this morning. And like that I know I call a lot of things acts of terrorism, but that would be one.
That would be one. And he should have known that. I'm sorry, he should have known that, sending that text. That's the other thing. Don't send texts like that. Hey, don't send texts like that
if you're
to
not,
your friends.
If you're not,
okay?
Especially if it's like, it would be different if he said
unless
that
you're
and,
mad.
Then, and was immediately ready to talk, but saying, okay, does like an hour work? So now
it's
she
like,
has
so
to
I'm going to have to chew on this for 60 whole minutes? Are you insane? No, how about right now? That's when you do a FaceTime. That's when it's, no, I can't wait an hour. Nope, actually no. Or I say, we can do an hour, but you're going to have to give me like a bulleted list of like what this is about so that I can prepare my speaking points. But I just want, I mean, anxiety is selfish is a mantra I repeat to myself all the time when I'm feeling like that. And it also kind of goes hand in hand with the let them theory where it's like, if they're talking shit on you and thinking you're weird, let them. Who cares? Like, who fucking cares? Just let them, you know, if it's real, they'll talk to you. If it's not, that's on them. All right. Some good truths now. First one is that every body is a Broadway body. And ingenues don't have to be 90 pounds. I don't know if I've really told the story. Probably have. When I was 16 years old, I was at my theater school for years and years and years and years. Okay. And I was getting roles. I was pretty talented there. Things were going good. I start going to summer intensives that aren't with them. And they start basically telling mom, you can expect her to not get roles anymore. Like they literally, mom called and was like, is it going to shoot her in the foot if I send her to this esteemed like Broadway intensive instead of your day camp that you're doing? And they basically said, yeah, it won't be good. And I went anyway. And I come back, audition for the season. I don't get the role I wanted. And I was really confused and perturbed. And they always encouraged us to go ask for feedback. So I go meet with the director of the whole place, a woman, and I was supposed to be meeting with the man who cast it, and he sent her instead. And we meet and we sit down, and she goes, "Now listen, he really sees this role as an ingenue. Do you know what an ingenue is?" And I was like, "No." And she goes, "Okay, well, I don't want you to get in your head about this, but ingenues are typically 90 pounds. And I'm sorry, but can you imagine saying that to a fucking 16-year-old girl?
Also, like 90 pounds is not a healthy weight.
90 pounds? No, but, and let me tell you, the girls who are playing the roles weren't 90 pounds and they were tiny. They were not 90 pounds. Like, it's insane. Anyone who's gone through puberty probably weighs more than 90 pounds. And it would have been damaging if she said, like, skinny, anything. To say that number, like, how fuck, she, you have daughters. Like, you fucking witch. Are you kidding? That's an insane thing to say. And I'm sorry, but as a theater educator myself, there are a million ways to talk to kids about type and the roles that they didn't get without bringing in their weight. Mm-hmm. That is insane. Then she tells me that I don't work that hard. And I was just like, okay. And I leave. And I, guess what? And her, oh, she also said, don't get in your head, though, because look at blank. She named another girl who had, I mean, it was curvy, I guess, and ended up, and like had lost a lot of weight. And she goes, look at her. You know, she lost all that weight and now she can't play Tracy. So, and like said that to me. And I was just like, and now you're talking about another teenage girl's body to me.
Yeah, wild.
Like, it just was insane. And so anyway, what I want to say is like, that's never okay. And I should have read her the Riot Act, and I should have had mom read her the Riot Act at the time. And nowadays when I run into people who still work there, I tell them, because why not? But I also think that I left there and I started getting cast as ingenues a lot of places, and I was not 90 pounds. And I was like, oh, you know what? Ingenues don't have to be 90 pounds. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can be on Broadway. Everybody is a Broadway body. And it's ridiculous to think anything else. Now, if you don't feel good in your body, that is one thing. If you don't feel comfortable on stage, you know, and I deal with that a lot, in your body, that's one thing. But everybody is a Broadway body, okay? And if you don't believe me, go check out Broadway Bears. Thank you. Next up, if it is meant to be, it will be. Anthony is the perfect example of this. Huge crush on him in high school. Didn't work out. Broke my little heart. He didn't really break my heart, but he did make me sad. The man kissed me, and the next day he asked another girl to prom. And he's going to be so mad that I said that, but that is true. That is true.
We all remember it.
And we all remember it. And then we didn't speak for 5 whole years, which is kind of crazy to think that you could like somebody, not speak to them for 5 years. They could fully be living with another woman for 4 years. You can then meet up at a bar, not hang out, go another year without seeing each other, and then get married. So all I'm saying is, if you love something, let it go. If it is yours, it will come back. If it is meant to be, it will be. I really believe this.
Yeah.
And so if someone broke up with you, there might be a reason. Maybe they need to do some evolving on their own. I promise you, if it's the relationship you are supposed to be in, it will find a way back to you. Okay? You don't need to make that happen. Next up, whatever you are, be a good one. And the other thing is, you're not too good to be anything. So similarly to how I said, I used to be like, I'll never, never teach. I'll never do that. I also said that there are a million ways to make money and you shouldn't close yourself off to any of them. But it is true. Do we have that quote in our basement?
Yeah, obviously.
We have that quote in our basement along with another one of my lessons on here. And it's really true. Like, I don't care if you are a babysitter, if you are a teacher, if you are a podcaster, if you are a sister, if you're a friend, if you're a wife, whatever you are, just be a fucking good one. Try your best to be good at what you do. There's nothing that you're too good to put effort into, and there's really no job that you should think is below you or beneath you.
Right.
Ask for help when you need it and accept help when it's offered. I really struggle with this. I very much struggle to delegate. I very much struggle to acknowledge that I need help. And I struggle to accept it. But the fact of the matter is, there are people in your life who genuinely want to help you, and they want to see you succeed and be the best version of yourself. And it will make you feel better, and it will make them feel really good. Think of it as like doing something for somebody else by allowing them to help you when they want to. You know, like,
right.
It feels good when you help other people. So allow somebody to do that for you. If you need to think of it that way to accept the help, that's fine. I think it's something that like we both struggle with. Probably. Do you struggle with asking for help?
Yeah.
Or accepting it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But it's just something you're like, oh, I don't really need it. But it's like, okay, but even if you don't really need it, isn't it kind of fucking nice just to have some help sometimes? Like, just
and it's also nice. It is nice to know that people want to and will help.
Yes, yes. There are always people who will help. And there will be people who will help you who you don't even know yet. Like, you really just be nice to everybody you meet. Because, again, you don't know who's going to, like, come save the day for you. Next up is that living alone is very empowering. And I think that, especially women, I think you should all do it. I only did it for a year. I learned so much about myself. I learned about, like, independence and just being a woman. And it's just kind of, like, a really sacred time to be yourself and enjoy your own space, and you don't really get that a whole lot in life, so enjoy that. Along with this, living with friends is amazing, and sometimes it is finite, so enjoy it. If you are living with roommates in college, if you are living with your friends as a 20-something, whatever, like, if your plan is to eventually have a partner and live with them, then you might not ever live with your friends again, and it's a really beautiful time in your life. Like, it really, really is, so embrace it and enjoy it. Living with a partner is also amazing. It's also very difficult, and it's also difficult to get out of. So you don't need to rush it. You have your whole
Mom's
life.
Mom's always been an advocate for that.
I have seen some of my friends who have been in situations where I'm just like, how the fuck are you going to get out of this? Like, you are so intertwined in this person's life.
Especially when it turns into, like, friend groups, you know what I mean? Like, that can also complicate it. And it is, yeah, it's... I have always been in my head about not that the opportunity has arisen. I just mean, like, always thinking about mom has always been like, I can't believe they're moving in together.
About everybody. I mean, she didn't want me and Anthony to move in together. We were engaged, and that's why she was like okay with it.
Yeah.
Because she was like, that's always been kind of her. She and my dad did not live together until they got married, which is crazy. And I will say I agree with her to a point. Like, I think you don't need to rush it. You should be very sure. You should be basically sure that you're going to marry that person if you're going to move in with them, because
but it is probably good to get that tested.
Live with them. Yes.
Make sure
that... Because it's hard. It's hard. And I hate the people who are like, oh my God, it's bliss every single day. When I moved in with Anthony for the first time, I had never lived with a partner. He had lived with a partner before. And he was ready to move in, like, the day we started dating. And I was like, no. And I finally said yes. Once we were engaged, and we did it. And you know what? It was hard. It's still hard sometimes. Like, you have a lot of togetherness with someone, you're going to get annoyed.
Especially because y'all both really work from home.
Yes. I had some friends who were like, so how is it? And I was like, it's great. And they're like, but how is it really? And I was like, you know what? Thank you for asking me that. Because I hate this, like, idea that we all need to put up a front that it's fucking roses and daisies all the time. Like, you might be like, I don't want to breathe the same air as you right now, and I have nowhere to go, and we're in the same house together, and you're driving me nuts. But then other times, it's like, you have the best, you get to come home to somebody who fucking loves you and who you love to hang out with every single day, and that's awesome too. So, like, there's a lot of great stuff there, but there's also hard stuff, and it's okay if it's hard. It doesn't mean that it was a mistake. It doesn't mean it's not meant to be. It's also okay for you to say, I'm not ready yet, and to enjoy living with your friends or by yourself, because you might not get that chance again. You know, if you're moving in with somebody else, you might never get this back. So just enjoy it and don't rush it. If it's the right relationship for you, it will be meant to be. No, that was all one. Next up is, you are going to redefine what success means to you over and over and over again, as you should. You have to keep moving the goalpost, because, like, use my COVID story as an example. I was like, success is being on Broadway. Well, look at that, you know? And I didn't really think like that at the time. I had already learned this. This is from my Aunt Liney, actually, taught me that you have to constantly redefine your definition of success, because there was a time when it was like, all right, success is me fucking directing the show and it happening, you know, selling one ticket to my show. That's success. Success is waking up and going to 3 auditions today when it fucking sucks and it sucks the life out of me and I hate it. Mm-hmm. Success is actually just moving to New York and getting there and doing that, you know? And I tell my students all the time, I'm like, when we're going to an audition, you cannot say that success is getting the role you want. That's not going to work, because one person's getting that role. And if it isn't you, then you just basically said, I failed. So how about success is having an audition you feel really fucking good about and going in there and leaving it all out there and leaving and saying, I'm proud of myself for performing and doing what I love for somebody. Somebody got to watch me. That's the whole point, right? Like, be proud of the work you did. Okay, maybe at a certain point, success is getting a callback. You know, okay, I got a callback. I am successful. And then I'm going to redefine success again. What is it after this callback? You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's constantly redefining what success is in the fact that your life is going to change. And, you know, you might start thinking that, I don't know. It's just, it's okay to change your mind and also to like move the goalposts for yourself and make it attainable so you don't set yourself up for failure, because failure sucks. Mm-hmm. And success is great. And you can have a lot more success than failure if you set it up for yourself the right way.
Yeah.
Okay, a few cheesy truths. We're getting to like our final 10. Cheesy truths. We accept the love we think we deserve. I read it in Perks of Being a Wallflower all those years ago. Classic Pittsburgh book. Classic Pittsburgh teen angst book. You got the Catcher in the Rye, the Bell Jar, and Perks of Being a Wallflower. And it's really true. I never understood it until I started really investing in myself and my mental health. And I started like not seeing myself as this damaged piece of shit, you know, which is kind of how I was seeing myself for a little bit after some experiences I had. And I started dating Anthony while I was in this therapy. And it took me a second to like really allow it to be what it was, because I was like, I'm so damaged from all these things. But you know, once you start loving yourself and you're like, you know what? I fucking deserve this. I deserve to be loved by somebody. I deserve to have somebody who sees me for who I am and loves me anyway. Once you get there, that's when you're going to be in the relationships you want to be in. But it's sort of how we talked about this a few weeks ago. And we were like, people who want to hurt you and like abuse you in some sort of way, mental, physical, whatever, they're looking for people who have low self-worth or people who... Oh, yeah.
We talked about that with Finchie. Like,
yeah, like you're kind of susceptible to that, and you don't feel like you deserve anything better, and so you're more likely to accept that type of behavior. Again, just tell your brain, I accept better, and it'll start working. But we really do accept the love we think we deserve, so you need to work on loving yourself first before you can be in a relationship, really. Next is, it's probably not that serious. Whatever it is that you're that fucking stressed out about, it is probably not that serious. I got a tattoo after my whole life. My mom telling me basically she would like be so mad at me if I got a tattoo. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my whole life. If I get I got a tattoo. I was like, oh, I forget I have it all the time. No one has to see it unless I want to. And at the end of the day, it's my fucking body. It's really not that serious.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just not that big of a deal. Your friend, like, blowing you off one day for something, you can be really mad about it. It's probably not that serious. Like, it's probably not anything to do with you. You know, there are a million things people are going to say to you, do to you, things you're going to experience. They're just not that serious. And if you can just think that, you'll be a little bit better off. Next is, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery until it isn't. It's great. It's great to have people want to imitate you and do the things you're doing. I think there's a level of decorum that needs to come into play there. And I think it's also like, find who you are and be you and be inspired by people. That's great. Like, we all love it. But there are times when it can feel shitty, and it's okay for it to feel shitty.
Well, it's also like, it's the sincerest form of flattery when it's like, there
when
are
it's
certain,
actually flattering.
There are certain examples of that where it would have to, like, there are. Like, I remember one time Cammy wore the same hair. Like, she braided her hair the way that I had braided my hair the mm-hmm. day before in, like, first grade. And this is when Dad taught me that saying. And I was mad at Cammy, and I, like, told her she copied me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, an example of not what I'm about to talk about. But on a larger scale, if for a big event in your life, you're going to mimic what somebody else in your life did and not ever acknowledge that there's any level of similarity, that's when it's frustrating. Because it would be so much more special and so much more kind if you were like, I loved this thing that you did, and it
love what you
when
did.
I saw what you did, I was like, this is exactly what I've always pictured for myself, and so thank you for doing that, and I'm gonna implement it in XYZ ways. But if you don't do that and you pretend like it's your idea, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah, like if you're passing something off as your own and it's obviously not your own, and this goes for like a lot of things, like intellectual property, like if you're, you know, like just at the end of the day, if you have a bad feeling about it, like you're doing something and you're like, oh, I feel like I need to be sneaky about this, probably you should have a conversation with the person or don't do it. You know what I mean? Like I think yeah, Cammy copying your braid was actually totally fair game. And I think Phoebe knows that now. And it's like, that was flattering. And there are going to be times, and it's like, 9 times out of 10, if you also just ask somebody or express to them like how much you love what they're doing and that's why you want to do it, they're probably going to be like, yeah, go for it. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like the sneakiness, it makes it
even
harder.
If it's not sneaky, just the complete like discounting. Anyway, yeah.
And if it's like everything in the world, you know, that's also hard. Okay, so next is protect your peace. Even if it disappoints people, this goes along with the mental health. Like, investing in your mental health is hard and everyone's not going to understand it and people might think it's selfish. And you're going to have to make choices in your life, especially as you get older, that like are going to disappoint people. Mel Robbins has a chapter in her book. It's all about when she wanted to move away from her parents and she felt really bad because she was like, my parents are going to be so disappointed. Like, they're going to be so upset. And then she realized, well, yeah, they are going to be disappointed, but it's because they love me and it's okay. They're allowed to be disappointed. You know, like, it's part of it. And that's okay. And it's not my job. I'm not going to limit myself because I don't want to disappoint somebody who ultimately is only disappointed because they love me and want me around, you know? And that's a good example of it. But it's like, it's okay to protect your peace. Eventually, people will understand it. If they don't, then it's, you know, it's okay. Maybe they weren't supposed to be who they were in your life. But most people who love you, like, they're going to want you to do that too.
Okay. Awesome.
Next up is, if they wanted to, they would. This is true about friends. This is true about partners. It's so true. Nick Vial says it all the time. Hate to give it to him, but it's true. When I read He's Just Not That Into You, the book in middle school, because I was really inspired by the movie and I want to learn everything about dating, it taught me that too. And you know what? It's true. Okay? So if they're not coming to see you, if they're not texting, if they're not whatever, it's because they don't want to. Okay? If they wanted to, they would. Fear of the name increases fear of the thing itself. I hate to quote that person, but you know, we're going to separate the art from the artist here, but it's so true. Talking about something removes the power that it has over you and you're going to feel so much better. So it's really fucking hard to talk about stuff, but like, if it's holding a lot of power over you, the less you talk about it, the more power it's going to collect. So you need to just like talk about it and don't be scared of those things. All right. Coming up to my final five, and I'll be very quick because these are things that I learned from the podcast. Number one, I already kind of knew this, but I really learned it in the podcast. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. Yes, this was painted on our basement wall growing up. And Phoebe and I have always said it and always thought it was.
When Anne came back from her study abroad in Italy, she came over to our house with our gifts. And I made a little like welcome sign. And I glued it.
Did you write that on it?
I glued it to that quote. Like,
did you ruin it?
It was like on a little piece of notebook paper and I like glued it up there. I was like in second grade. I just figured it would come off easily.
A for effort.
And mom was pissed. It didn't come off easily. It's still there. The little paper is there. I mean, I ripped it off, but the little remnants of the paper is still on there.
Need to check it out. It is so true, you guys. How many times have Phoebe and I been at each other's freaking throats on this podcast, and then one of us makes a joke and it's like moving right along, you know? It really is true. Like, if you can laugh with someone, you can overcome whatever it is. And sisters obviously fight, and Phoebe and I, it's never really that serious, but you also know sisters can make you so fucking mad. So sometimes like that laughter, it really is the shortest distance. Number two, if you are truly yourself, you will only attract people who see you and like you, okay? Like, those are the people you're going to attract. I'm not saying there are people that see me and don't like me, for sure, but I'm not attracting them closer to me. When I'm on this podcast with Phoebe, I am, like, so myself because I can't help it. I, like, forget that we're on this podcast and this is just, like, how you and I would act when we're by ourselves and all the weird shit that I do, like, the tattoo kind of thing and all that stuff. Like, that would have normally been reserved for just me and Phoebe time, but I let you all in on it. And guess what? We have this amazing community and, like, I just kind of have learned that, like, show up as yourself and people will show up for you. Number three, there are five things on this list. People are going to misunderstand you. They're going to. I guess it's okay. I really struggle with it. I really have. And I kind of always thought that, like, well, certainly if I make my intentions clear, nobody could possibly misunderstand me. And certainly if I explain myself in painstaking detail, no one can misunderstand me. That's not true. People are going to. They will misunderstand you. There will be nothing you can do about it. You have to figure out how to be okay with it.
Yes.
Two more. Almost done. Social media is bad for your brain, but it's really good for your brand. Figure out how to use it wisely. If you're not on social media, you're the only one. Okay? So if you want to be doing something and it involves marketing yourself,
that's the thing. That's
you better
the difference.
Get on social fucking
that's
media.
That's the differentiation to make. Is like, if you don't need it, you don't need to be on it.
If you don't need it, you don't need it. But like, if you are someone, well, especially in theater nowadays, they're like, you need to be active on social media if you want to make it in the industry.
That's
like,
crazy.
You have to. It's like half of your resume now. People go and look at your social media. They will encourage people to have separate accounts just for theater. So it's really good for your brand. Try to keep the, I'm not good at this. I don't walk the line. It is what I do for work. It is what I do for this podcast and then personal. And it is a lot. So I'm still figuring that out, but it is like the best way to market. And if you can leverage social media, you should. And finally, be careful what you put in writing. The internet is forever. And when you're worried, just put it in a voice note or put it in a podcast and publish it for
and
everybody
then
to
no
see.
One can find it.
And then nobody can find it. But it is true. Just think about a year ago, you know, the things that were put in writing that they thought they could delete. Oh, you can't. Okay. So if you wouldn't say it out loud and you don't want it to be screenshotted and put up for everybody to see, don't.
The main issue with them is that one of them did not care. One of them probably knew
did
that.
Did not care. And was like, yeah, so? Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, we won that war because they didn't know not to put shit in writing. Right. So I'm just saying, don't put shit in writing. All right, I think that's 30 things. We're right at the time. But did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, but
did
that, I miss anything? That was 30 things.
Okay,
maybe
perfect.
I'll do
then
a 25
exactly
things I've learned at 25.
I would love that. That's like a perfect timing. Yes, I think that's great. So in December, you guys can expect
that. So I won't
that.
Make you guys
things.
Wait till I'm 30, which is in forever.
Which is, because she's so young. And it's a shame because it's really cool here in the 30 Club. And we're
you
talking
Pat,
about how you're not part of it.
You Cat and Pat.
Yeah, no, we had a Kiki this morning on FaceTime. We all talked about how you're not 30 yet. So being 30 is actually really cool. And I think you should be jealous. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you. If you have been here from day one of this podcast, we've been here for 3 years. That is fucking crazy. There's honestly nothing I'd rather do on my birthday than record an episode. This has been like the greatest gift. And I love this podcast. And I love you, Phoebe. And I love the Road Warriors. And this has just been like the greatest thing ever. And I'm so proud of it. And I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so happy to continue to be here. Mm-hmm. So thank you. If you've been here forever, if you just showed up, please never leave. There's so much more to come. Like Phoebe's 25 things I learned by 25.
Well, yes. And happy birthday, Caroline.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And happy birthday, Pretty Little Podcast. All right, guys. We love you so much. We will see you next week. We're back to 2 episodes a week. We've got a podcast on Tuesday, and we will have a Pretty Little Punch Bowl on streaming for everybody on Thursday. So get into that. Season 6 premiere, right?
Seven.
Oh my God, season 7 premiere is coming out on May 1st. Don't forget it. We've got on Patreon this week a Pretty Little Punch Bowl, and we released a podcast this weekend on Patreon for tiers 1, 2, and 3. So go check it out. We love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.